This is Radio Parallax, a slightly different perspective from a slightly different view, with topics that include matters in science, technology, history, politics, current events, and whatever we damn well please. And now the host of Radio Parallax, Douglas Everett.
Welcome to our show. Once again, it is, of course, Thursday at 5 o'clock, and that means you are dialed into KDVS 90.3, specifically Radio Parallax. Now, this week marks a rather solemn occasion in America, a week after the attacks of September 11th, 2001. And we thought it would be good today, since we have incorporated a certain amount of leeway into the program, some flexibility, to deal with somewhat more of the lighter elements. And to that end, we're going to devote our first segment to one of America's foremost humorists, a man who has made us laugh on many occasions, Mr. Dave Barry, who appeared this week in Santa Rosa at the Luther Burbank Center. And we were in attendance for your benefit. We actually have some clips from Mr. Barry's talk and would like to read some of his finer moments, some excerpts from some of his columns, and tell you a little bit about that. Second segment today will be Sean Minton returning us to do a fine job, as he always does, talking about sports. And in the last segment, Tony Held and Whitney Lehman will continue our discussion on movies, which started with our analysis of the American Film Institute's top 100 comedies on previous shows. This show was produced by Mr. Edward McMillan, and we are pleased to announce to you the birth of daughter Priya Rachel this last week. And joining me today in the booth is Zach Palaska, acting as my engineer. We are, of course, a non-commercial radio station. And now, a word from our sponsor.
Ever wonder how television evangelists rake it in, but you sometimes can't get even a single prayer answered? Well, you're as righteous as anyone, but maybe God didn't hear you. The Almighty has a lot to do, and your prayer does compete with countless others. But don't lose faith. We have the answer. The Prayer Antenna. That's right, the Prayer Antenna. You see, when a television evangelist prays with his arms in the air, it's not just cheap theatrics. It actually improves the reception to the man upstairs, just like the rabbit ears on an old TV. The Prayer Antenna takes this even further. Its state-of-the-art nichrome alloy wire runs from your heart to your fingers. It's like broadcasting on a powerful transmitter. The boost is heavenly. Just listen to these testimonials.
The Prayer Antenna got me a new girlfriend in 2 days. It really works.
After just one use, I got paroled 6 months early.
And that Florida election fiasco, they're about to count the votes. Scary. One night with that Prayer Antenna, the Supreme Court put my ball in the White House.
Make sure God hears your prayer. Get the Prayer Antenna. It may be the best decision of your life.
Or afterlife.
Call now. The Prayer Antenna is only $19.95 plus $6.95 shipping and handling. Operators are standing by. Offer not valid for Jehovah's Witnesses or in New York State. Not for use in other religions. Allow 4 to 6 weeks for delivery. Your results may vary. Call now.
All right, we are back. A few weeks back, while doing some research for a prior program on the web, I stumbled upon the Santa Rosa Press Democrat for some of its coverage they were giving to an item we were interested in, and I noticed an advertisement for an upcoming evening with Mr. Dave Barry. And we're very fond of Dave Barry on this program. Look forward to reading his column every Sunday when we can. For those of you from the lost city of Atlantis and aren't aware of the fact that Dave Barry is a Pulitzer Prize-winning humorist, probably, and for my mind, the two great humorists of the last 30 years in America are probably Gary Trudeau, whom we saw at Davis last year and told you about in our very first program, and Mr. Dave Barry, who writes a column for the Miami Herald each week, which is syndicated in newspapers throughout the country and even overseas. My engineer, Mr. McMillan, told me before the show that when he was in India living there for a couple of years, he looked forward every week to the local Indian paper, which would carry, oddly enough, the Miami Herald's column for Mr. Barry, and that was a way of connecting back up to American life in a humorous way. Now, by virtue of paying a considerable amount of extra money, I was able to supposedly have dinner with Dave Barry, which really meant you could rub shoulders with him and say a few words and perhaps get him to autograph a book, which I had him do. I told him that I had a radio show and that I was a longtime fan. The first thing I said to him actually was, Mr. Barry shook his hand and he said, "Oh, please call me Mr. Barry." I mentioned that I admired his work and that when stuck for a segment on the show, sometimes we would read one of his columns, which he looked a little bit slightly surprised at and said, "Well, I don't care. You know, like, go ahead, be my guest." Then he sort of paused a moment and looked at one of his entourage and said, "But, you know, he may have an objection." One of the people with him, perhaps his legal representative, I said, "Well, of course, we were only excerpting it for review purposes." Now, since I know it's legal to excerpt for review purposes, and we have it from the great man's mouth himself that he doesn't care if we do so, let us indulge ourselves a bit in the work of Mr. Dave Barry, after which we will go to some of his recorded remarks from the Luther Burbank Center in Santa Rosa. But first, let me go to some of the memorable columns he's produced in the past and excerpt for you some of their finer moments. In my hands right now is a yellowing newspaper clipping from about 1985 of Dave Barry's column titled "The Scientific Mind." Let me give you a few moments from this. "I don't know about you, but I'm getting tired of reading newspaper articles like this. Los Angeles. A team of physicists at UCLA announced yesterday that they made a major scientific breakthrough with the discovery of an important new subatomic particle. This was the team's eighth major particle this month, giving them a three-particle lead over MIT. These particles are very difficult to detect even with the aid of enormous federal grants," said head physicist Dr. Ernest Viewfinder. "But we definitely saw an important new one. At least, I saw it, and Dr. Hubbleman here, he thinks he did too." Dr. Viewfinder said he could not show his particle to newsmen because it was, quote, "resting," unquote. I'm starting to wonder whether these physicists are pulling some kind of elaborate scam here. I'm starting to wonder whether they don't sit around their $23 million atomic accelerators all day drinking frozen daiquiris and shrieking, "There goes one now!" and then laughing themselves sick. Maybe it's time we laypersons ask some hard questions about this idea that all matter consists of tiny invisible particles whizzing around. I'm willing to believe that uranium does, because physicists have demonstrated they can use it to vaporize cities, but I like to see them do this with some kind of matter that laypersons are more familiar with, such as cheese. I've examined cheese very closely, and as far as I can tell, it consists of cheese. Now, during his talk, Dave pointed out that he frequently responds and uses in his column materials that are sent to him, and I have an example of same from about, 10 or 15 years ago that was just a classic. Someone sent Dave a column from the Manchester, New Hampshire Union Leader regarding a Laconia, New Hampshire police officer who was called to a municipal water treatment facility in response to a report of a suspicious acting woodchuck that would not let people out of the building. The officer arrived, sized up the situation, and according to the story, quote, determined that the animal needed to be euthanized and tried to run it over with his cruiser, unquote. So far, so good. Law enforcement experts will tell you, after they've had a few belts, that in a situation where a member of the marmot family is holding people hostage in a sewage plant, the textbook response is to drive a police car over the alleged perpetrator and then, if necessary, advise it of its rights. Unfortunately, things did not go according to plan. The story quotes a plant employee as saying, when he got out after running it over, I think he thought it was dead, but the thing sprung up and attacked him. At this point, the officer, and if you've never been attacked by a woodchuck, then do not second guess this decision, pulled out his 9mm pistol and commenced firing. We think he emptied the clip, a plant employee is quoted as saying, but we could only find 8 casings on the pavement. The story states that during the battle, the officer seeking to escape the woodchuck jumped into the cruiser and injured his knee. Fortunately, before anybody else could be hurt, the woodchuck went to that big burrow in the sky. Thanks to a quick acting police officer, the day was saved, who fortunately, though, was not carrying nuclear weapons. And like this program, Dave likes to just go to the conventional media and pull a story out of it. He did so in a column titled, "In Touch with Your Inner Dishwasher." Dave Barry. Recently, the Washington Post printed an article explaining how the appliance manufacturers plan to drive consumers insane. Of course, they don't say they want to drive us insane. What they say is they want us to have a live-in homes where all the appliances are on the internet, sharing information, and appliances will be smarter than most of their owners. For example, the article states, you could have a home where the dishwasher can be turned off from the office, and the refrigerator knows when it's out of milk, and the bathroom scale transmits your weight to the gym. I frankly wonder whether the appliance manufacturers, with all due respect, had been smoking crack. I mean, did they ever stop to ask themselves why a consumer, after loading a dishwasher, would go to the office to start it? Would there be some kind of career benefit? Your boss, what are you doing? You, tapping the computer keyboard. I'm starting my dishwasher. Your boss, that's some kind of productivity we need around here. You, now I'm flushing the upstairs toilet. Listen, appliance manufacturers, we don't need a dishwasher that we can communicate with from afar. But here's what really concerns me about these new smart appliances. Even if we like the features, we won't be able to use them. We can't use the appliance features we have now. I have a feature-packed telephone with 43 buttons, 20 of which I'm afraid to touch, which can probably communicate with the dead, but I just don't know how to operate it, just as I don't know how to operate my TV, which has one control, 44 buttons that came with the TV, a second with 39 buttons that came with the VCR, and a third with 37 buttons that was brought here by the cable TV man who apparently felt I did not have enough buttons. So when I want to watch TV, I'm confronted with a total of 120 buttons identified by such helpful labels as PIP, MTS, DBS, F2, jump, and blank. When I honestly cannot figure out how to turn the TV on, I stand there holding three remote controls, pushing buttons at random, until eventually I give up and go turn on the dishwasher. Dave Barry is indeed a funny man, and let's go to his actual talk and see if we can't hear some of his witticisms from his own mouth.
Miami really is a great destination, and I urge you to come visit. We have a new attitude down there, new tourism promotion slogan, come back to Miami. We weren't shooting at you. You mentioned one of the recent trips I took, which was to North Dakota. I had been making fun of North Dakota, subconscious. They have this move afoot by the marketing people up there to change the name of North Dakota to just Dakota, so that people will suddenly think it's more like Hawaii. You know? Kind of the highlight of the trip was they named a sewage lifting station after me. A sewage lifting station, I really was not familiar with, but it lifts sewage up. I don't know why. I would leave it down there. I remember at the beginning of the Cheney Bush administration, the vice president was having a problem with his heart. It kept acting up. And so they implanted a device, which, as I understand it, when the organ acts up, it sends out some kind of electrical impulse and causes it to calm back down again. And it worked, and I couldn't help but think when they did that, wouldn't it have been a good thing if we'd had that for President Clinton?
Okay, Dave Barry is indeed one funny guy. He did say one thing I wasn't able to record very effectively that I'd just repeat for you. In dealing with Iraq, Dave suggested that we do need to act, that he is a bad guy, that we have a weapon that we can use. By God, let's do it. Let's fly a bomber right over downtown Baghdad and drop lawyers. If that doesn't work, he said, we can drop more lawyers. If that still doesn't work, he suggests we could try attaching parachutes to the lawyers. Anyway, let's take a short break. You're listening to KDVS on 90.3 FM. Stay tuned for Sean Minton coming back to talk more about sports. This is Radio Parallax.